Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. In today's podcast, I'll be speaking to James and Moira Doherty, owners of Slead League Distillery in Carrick, who have raised £2.3 million through Crowdcube for their new distillery in Ardragh, which is currently under construction. I'll also be joined by Mark Bolton, who decided to set up his own industrial trade supply company, Bolt On, in Letterkenny, after a number of years as a sales rep. James and Martha Doherty set up Slead League Distillery in 2017 outside the village of Carrick. Back in August, the sod was turned on the site of their new €10 million distillery in Ardragh. While it's been a strange year for business, James says it's also been an extremely busy one for himself and his company.
It has. We've got some real momentum, which is really exciting, but it's also the strangest of years. So there's been a lot of activity just trying to turn a dollar, really. You know, since COVID started, the world of drinks has changed radically, as it has for everybody else. And you're just trying to navigate your way through it. And fortunately for us, we're in pretty good shape.
Okay. You're up and running here since 2017.
That's right. 2017 was when we started selling Andulamin here. So we were making gin here as first distillery in Donegal since 175 years or something. And we subsequently launched a blended Irish whiskey. And now we're just heading out to Ardragh to build the new whiskey distillery.
Okay. How did you come to set up a distillery in Carrick?
Well, how long's a piece of string? My parents are both from this part of the world. So my mum is from Kilcar, and my dad's family, although my dad was born in England, his family are from here in Carrick. And I suppose this has always been my happy place. And I managed to talk Moira into coming back here, having spent 20 years really in the drinks industry. So we met in Africa and Zimbabwe, and we went to Malawi for a few years, but we also then went all over the world with William Grant & Sons, who own Tullamore Dew, but they also own Glenfiddich, Hendrick's Gin, and what have you. And we kind of got to the stage working for these corporates that we kind of felt like we could do it better ourselves. And we, with a history of grandparents who were illicit distillers, who I think probably most people in Donegal could probably claim some illicit distiller somewhere in their family, and some ideas around how you could make drinks that were unique to this place, that we could really do something quite special here in Donegal.
Maria, it's a long way from Zimbabwe to Carrick.
It is. It's a really long way, yeah. It's one extreme to another, really.
Yeah. Are you glad you made the move?
Most days, yes, I'm very glad. Some days when it's grey and cold and wet, it's not so happy. But most of the time, it's good.
You alluded to earlier about the new development and with COVID and the way things have changed here. Can you talk us maybe through the stage of how things have changed first in the distillery we're here in, James?
So with COVID in March, we immediately went into sanitizer. So Moira's a nurse, and she was really adamant that we should get into and make hand sanitizer. We can use the waste alcohol from the gin for it. Having kind of worked in the hospitals and what have you in Zimbabwe, she was convinced that most sanitizer is really bad for your skin and that, you know, it's hard on your skin, and that we could find the sort of the things we'd learned about the gin and the seaweed properties, that we could use that to make a sanitizer that was good for people's skin and helpful. So that was our first kind of major shift in with COVID. We went online very quickly, so we got an online shop up, and we got an online license and started retailing from here, which has been really, really effective. And it's kind of allowed us to keep selling to people. And I suppose one of the things you have to try and do is keep selling. And then beyond that, we kind of really doubled down on international. So with COVID, what was clear was that different markets were in different states. And so at different stages, if you like. And so as some were coming out of the first wave, others were going into their first wave. And so we really worked hard on trying to find new markets, open up that and open up territories we hadn't had before. And we've been very fortunate that the two of the biggest ones have come our way. So we've landed the USA and we landed Russia. Both of those are significant. And we even have, you know, a representative in Moscow right now, which is kind of cool.
I have three of your products sitting here in front of me and very neat glasses. Can you talk me through them?
Absolutely. That's a tour glass. So it's an Irish whiskey tasting glass. A friend of ours actually designed and developed them, and Rosie's doing very well. So what we have in front of you, we have the first one is the gin itself, so Andulamin. So it's a super soft but very savoury gin. So it has 5 seaweeds in there alongside 6 kind of conventional botanicals. And we talk about trying to capture the magic of the sea. I mean, really, it's Moira's love letter from the Donegal coast, I think, you know, so it's a way of us celebrating that beautiful coastline, all of those kind of amazing ingredients that people would have been eating or using to fertilize the soil or whatever for the last sort of thousands of years, and applying it in a different way. So it's a gin that really could only come from Donegal. The second one you have next to it is Andulum and Santa Ana. So we take the same Andulum and gin, but we put it into a Rioja barrel. And the reason for putting it in a Rioja barrel is that the commander of the Santa Ana that ran ashore off Ross Beg was from Rioja. So Don Alonso de Leva was from Rioja, and we put our gin in there for 12 weeks. And in that 12 weeks, it picks up a slight rose gold hue, so a little pinkish color to it. It has a slight sweetness to it. It brings up a bit of orange and marmalade. It's 57%. I should have warned you. But it's 57% alcohol, which is Navy strength. It's the first Irish Navy strength gin. And we refer to that as Armada strength. So, you know, that's the gin, the white spirit world. And they're gins that really could only come from here. And in fact, if you go on to the internet, to our website, you can actually trace, if you put in the bottle number and the batch number from the neck label that Moira still handwrites, the internet will throw up to you exactly what day we made it on, what day we picked the seaweeds on, who made it, how much alcohol was produced, which ingredients come from which country. So there's complete transparency of it, which we know is a big driver for consumers today. And then the last glass you have in front of you is actually our most recent one. So this is called the Dark Silky. So we had Silky Irish whiskey available since sort of 2017, really. And this is a blend of Irish whiskies. So it's got double distilled single malts matured in bourbon casks, triple distilled single malt that's matured in a sherry cask, but it's all peated. So it's all smoky Irish whiskey, the way it would have been in the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. And it's a taste that's kind of been lost. And then to that, we add a grain whiskey that's been matured in virgin oak casks. It's got an oily, buttery, sweet texture. So you have this aroma off it, which is a bit like sitting beside the peat fire at Granny's house. You know, so it kind of reminds me of the smell of my gran's kitchen. Also has a kind of dusty tobacco aroma, which reminds me of my granddad's pipe in the morning. And it's a whiskey that could really only come from here. We weren't sure how it was going to go down, but actually what's really interesting is it's this kind of difference, and Donegal being different has really seemed to capture the imagination, and people are really gone for it.
Yeah. How much time, effort and energy goes into fine-tuning the ingredients, James?
With the gin particularly, we spent about 2 years working on that. We're very fortunate actually in the parish that with a good friend of ours, Rosaria Pissiri, who owns Algarin. And she makes seaweed foodstuffs and seaweed cosmetics. And she helped guide us through the different seaweeds. And we worked on, 20 odd different seaweeds, looking at whether you distilled them fresh or dried or frozen, what they tasted like individually, and then what they tasted like when you distilled them together. So it took us a couple of years to get that recipe right and get a real savory kiss of the sea. So that it does take a lot of time. And actually, there's a few heartaches as well in terms of making things in here and, you know, not quite working, and then trying to work out how to make it better. With the whiskey, it's an intuitive thing, really, for both of us. We spent time with the distillers at Great Northern. So Brian Watts used to work with me at Glenfiddich years ago, and we sat in the lab with him kind of going, look, this is what I want it to taste like. I want to be taken back to Granny's kitchen, sat near my granddad whilst he's smoking his pipe. And that, for me, is a hugely evocative, warm memory and very Donegal. If we could get that into a glass, then we thought that was a winner. And so it took a lot of little drops of whiskey here and there, playing with different styles until we got to what we really liked.
It must give you a great sense of satisfaction to sort of get to that stage.
Yeah, getting them... we've always made things that we like. You know, I think that at the end of the day, if you make something that you're proud of, then, you know, hopefully other people will like it too. And so we've made things that we like. And the really big kind of kick is like now when you see the sort of social media kind of kicking off and people being really supportive. You know, there was a Norwegian blogger who tweeted us on Saturday or Sunday, and she just wrote, "I have fallen madly, deeply in love with Dark Silky. And you know, you kind of read that, and I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. You know, it's just those kind of comments. It kind of makes it all worthwhile, really.
Has Dark Silky become your trademark?
I think Dark Silky, we've always tried to have a distinctive position, and I think Dark Silky is that bit more distinctive than the Legendary Silky. I think the Legendary Silky, the original one, is quite close to where the core of Irish whiskey is today, and so it has a hint of smoke, and that's, for those that are kind of safe, that's the place to be. But actually, it feels like consumers are trying to be a bit more adventurous, a bit more exploratory, and looking to try and find something new and distinctive, and that seems to have, you know, Dark Silky plays in that space really well.
Well, we talked about the team earlier. You may give us a breakdown of who has what duties around here.
Jim's the one who tells us all what to do. Sean Hanrahan used to be an actor, and he's now training as a distiller. He's done a lot of exams, and he helps me. We do the distillations together. Marion works in the bottling hall, and she's brilliant at getting the orders bottled and ready and out on time. Derek helps her there, but he also looks after the online shop. And when we had tours, he would do the tours. Rosie is in at the moment. She's our daughter. She's getting the Crowdcube rewards sorted for us because we've just done the Crowdcube funding and everybody gets a reward for investing with us. Agnes is our longest term employee. She works in the office doing logistics and admin. Deirdre works on marketing with James, and then Heather does the accounts for us. We also have Alexi, who's in Russia, and Ray is our ambassador in the UK, and then Bart and Dave do our sales for us worldwide. So it's quite a big, busy team.
How difficult is it to manage here and keep an eye on what's going to be your new project? Talk to me about that.
Well, the new project's a big one. So, you know, the total investment in the distillery for Ardra is about 10 million. So it's a chunky piece of equipment. There's quite scary checks being written at the moment. I suppose the biggest challenge with distilleries is actually the kind of business as usual, trying to make sure that you continue to sell, you continue to drive the business forward, you continue to focus on the important things and get deep on making sure that the distillery itself is kind of going well. We're very fortunate. We've got cornerstone architecture, local architects. We've always tried to use local people where possible. So we have some architects who are locally based who are project managing it for us, with James Keith, who's a long-term family friend who helped found a business with us. So they're, you know you've got good people on your side. We've gone with a local contractor to build the distillery itself. So again, you know, someone known and trusted. So we feel very comfortable with that. And we've got the distillery equipment itself coming from Forsyth's in Scotland. And Forsyth's make the best distilleries. Now, they don't make the cheapest, but they make the best. And I've known Richard for a number of years, and he's designed a unique operation just to us. So we were the only distillery in Ireland that will be making an all-grains-in process, which, again, I think would have been what a Donegal distiller would have done. So it's tough because you're kind of spread really thin, but you've got to, every now and then, you've got to dive deep into each section. And it's just a matter of kind of keeping having the right people in the right places and then kind of making sure you're looking at the right things at the right time. That makes it sound quite easy. But the bags under the eyes tell you it's probably not so.
What is the timescale, James, in terms of getting our dry up and running fully?
So the site's scraped back now. Maura and I were down on Saturday and orientating the building. So we're comfortable with the exact location on the building. So we're waiting on a piling rig right now. So once a piling rig comes in, we can get on with the foundations. The building needs to be ready for the beginning of March. So that's when the distilling equipment starts arriving. And the intention is that we'll be distilling sort of beginning of June. So we'll be, you know, laying whiskey down from the beginning of June. And in the meantime, we'll be making gin and laying whiskey down here as well.
Okay. How big an operation do you see it being?
So businesses like Ardra, I suppose the whole business, if you think about it like that, the business is designed to be about 150,000 cases in 10 years' time. So 150,000 cases times 12 bottles in each case. So it gives you an idea of magnitude, sort of 600,000 bottles. At that level, it will comfortably employ 40 people probably, but we would be in about 25 countries around the world. focused specifically on, you know, real driving the markets of the UK, USA, Russia, Australia, and Ireland. They'll be the real focus markets, but it's about trying to build an international spirits drinks company that's based in Southwest Donegal rather than a boutique distillery. You know, for us, it's to employ people and to really create a change, a positive change and a positive ecosystem, you kind of need to do something of scale. And I think we've got the scale. It's about as big as we can bite off, to be honest.
You set yourself targets when it came to fundraising and getting the necessary investment. Talk to me about that a wee bit.
So interestingly, we've always been out raising money. So you can either go out and get a private equity money early doors and then try and earn your business back from the private equity firms. Our route was slightly different, which was to reach different milestones, and as we reached them, to raise more money. Last March, we managed to secure an investment from Asahi, who are the second biggest drinks company in Japan. They put in $3 million. And since then, we kind of felt like the business was de-risked significantly, and therefore we could go to a more wider offering that would allow people locally to invest in a distillery and take part. So we went out on a Crowdcube fund, which went live at the end of August. Yeah. The initial target on it, which was £1 million, really, you know, that was kind of the bare minimum. If we got $1 million, we could just about get going. But really, we needed more than that. So we got $1 million. We very quickly got 1.5. But our real ambition, I guess, to have all of the choices we wanted, was to raise $2.1 million. And we were very fortunate that a lot of people came in on board, and we got to £2.3 million at the end, which is very good. And there's still some direct investors coming in outside of that now.
Were you pleasantly surprised at the reaction?
Yeah, I think overwhelmed, actually. I don't think you realize, you know, it's very personal to us in terms of how we've come at this. I don't think we really realized how it touches other people, and I don't think we think of ourselves as either courageous or brave or anything like that, and yet, you know, kind of other people have kind of said that, and it's kind of very humbling to hear that. I think the fact is that what we do with passion. You know, if we can't do this with real commitment, we won't touch it. So, you know, you don't see us messing around doing lots of different things. We keep it very tight. We do the things we do really well, and that's our real focus. And I think that passion and that attention to detail tells in the liquids, in you know, the gin and in the whiskey, and I think that's what people kind of really buy into. So there's a romance, but there's a romance that's backed by some solid financials. You know, we've got some really good backers. We've got some really heavyweight drinks guys on, you know, who support us, that we got involved very early on. And we have a really good bunch of good old Donegal businessmen who've invested because they want to see Donegal do well. So between that kind of, it just feels like it's something between a passion project and a really sound business investment.
That was James and Mario Doherty of Sleeve League Distillers. Mark Bolton is the owner of Bolt On Industrial Trade Supplies Company at JR Business Park at Dromore on the outskirts of Letterkenny. A native of Kilkeel and County Down, he was a fisherman and a carpenter before he joined a multinational company as a sales rep in 2008. 5 years ago, Mark set up his own company and has been making steady progress since.
Business has been pretty decent this year. It's been good, all things considered. We've been growing every year since I started in 2016. So, yeah, it's been pretty good, very good, yes.
You're a native of Kilkeel, so fishing was your first passion and your first job.
Yeah. Well, one of these guys who couldn't wait to get out of school and earn money. So I went fishing when I was 16 years old on the prawn trawlers out of Kilkeel. So yeah, it was good times, good part of my life. I look back fondly on it, yeah.
Have you still an interest in fishing?
Not so much now, no. Life has taken over.
Carpentry, you see every time as a carpenter, Mark, and that was a big part of your working life as well.
Yeah, it took up most of, I suppose, the best part of my life. Chipping, roofing, first, second fixing, was involved in the boom cycle before the burst. I'm qualified carpenter as well, yeah.
Talk to me a wee bit about the boom, because the building just took off, skyrocket these days, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I suppose like most people, I seen the opportunity to go working for myself. I took it. I went self-employed, employed up to 8 people at one stage. We're working in 2 or 3 different building sites, private jobs, everything, yeah. So it was again, a good time. But as we know now, it was a bit of a trap as well. Mm. So
did that force you to change your outlook and maybe change direction of where you were going to go, Mark?
Yeah, there were a few variables happened around that time at 2007, 2008. You could see the end in sight nearly, and the way everything was heading. So I decided to look elsewhere, to pastures new, I suppose. So I got a job in sales, fixings. So that's kind of what I'm at the moment. So that's where I kind of learned my trade, was with a multinational company selling fixings and fasteners.
A big change from roofing and second fixings to going out and about and being a salesman?
Absolutely. It's an incredibly hard job. Lots of rejection, lots of emotion in it to deal with, along with the usual with these companies, with targets, and it just is a constant pressure and stress spot, really. Yeah. But it was very good. You meet lots of good people, lots of interesting people. Customers are fantastic, you know. So, yeah, it was a good time as well.
And you decided then to go alone, in essence?
Yeah, I left a multinational company and went working for another sales company, much the same type of in the fixings industry. So again, I learned another aspect of it. I just got to the stage where I felt I could have a go at this. I think in Donegal, especially in the Northwest, a good sound fixings company was kind of lacking. And I just felt there was a space there for something like that. So I threw my hat in the ring and had a go. And 5 years later, we're still here anyway. So it's just going well.
I'm sure a business plan was the key at that stage, Mark, when you were setting out. And I know, speaking to you before, you had a lot of help and a lot of guidance. And that was very important to where it has set you up now.
Absolutely. It's always scary when you're putting things down on paper to look at where you're looking to take the business. I initially started off as like a mobile shop with the van, even taking that first loan out for stock. It was all like, oh my God, what if I can't pay this back? And the usual things most people probably go through, the fear of starting a business and the confidence of keeping it going and everything else. But I suppose I knew the customers I'd be dealing with. I knew where I was going with it. And I suppose that helped me big time in that it wasn't really going in, you know, with cold feet. I was going in with a good knowledge of the business, a good knowledge of what I was selling, and a good knowledge of my target market. So,
when did you decide to expand?
2 years out here now. Yeah, I started at the back of the house with I had a shed at the back of the house and started stocking it up. And as it went, after the first 3 to 4 months, I was calling the businesses, and slowly but surely, the phone was taking over the orders. It just was ringing every day, was dictating where I was going, dictating what I was selling, dictating where I was sourcing product from. And it's just been really incredibly busy. And we've grown to the part where we moved up. We took a unit in JR Business Park, and within about 8 months, we took a second unit because the amount of stock we were bringing in and getting out. So We've two units taken out here now, and we're in a good steady mode, good growth mode. Yeah.
How is your team structured here at Bolton?
Well, we have one guy who is constantly delivering. We do same day delivery where possible, next day delivery where possible. Most of the time, a lot of the time, we could be with you within an hour with goods, you know, which is a great positive for us, a great service we provide. The second guy, we have a guy up front in the shop who runs the online website as well. He looks after that. He looks after customers. And then we have a store man, keeps stock coming in, going out, and myself then, and purchasing most of the time and answering customer queries.
How big a player is the online system at the moment for you and your business?
At the moment, it's hit and miss, if I'm honest. We haven't gone much in the way of marketing it or advertising it. It's there. Most people, if you look up our name, it comes up as a website. You can go on our website and shop online. Because of the type of product we sell, I still think it's more it's more localized. More people just ring and need this and need that. Can you get it to me? They're not going online shopping for it because they know they can pick up the phone and verbally get what they need.
The future for Bolt On and your business, Mark, where do you see yourself going in 5 years' time or 3 years' time?
Oh, great question. We're all wondering what's happening in the economy at the moment and the marketplace. It's tough times for sure, for especially for the hotel industry and the other industries that's going. Ourselves, we've been affected slightly, but not as much as others. I suppose at the moment, I'm hanging tight at the moment just to see what way it plays out. But realistically, we'd hope to sit down next year and do a new growth expansion plan and hopefully push nationally if we can.
That's going to be a big undertaking, Mark.
Yeah, it is. Without a doubt, it's going to take a lot of resources, a lot of money, a lot of time. Again, it's something that's in the back of my mind at the moment because of the current state of affairs. But I know when it comes, if I put my mind to it, we'll sit down and we'll push on.
And when you're not running the business, what do you unwind?
Golf. Somebody has to. I'll play a bit of golf at the weekends down Port Salon. It is without a doubt one of the most spectacular golf courses in the world. I can say that quite confidently and quite easily. It is outstanding.
And looking forward to getting 2020 behind you.
I think everyone is. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold either. We just hope we can get past all this and move on with our lives.
That was Mark Bolton of Bolt On in Letterkenny. That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, James and Moira Doherty and Mark Bolton. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.